It sounds like a big pay cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It will not be official until today, but the news has already been trickling out from New York to Charlotte to Detroit. Payday just got a little less sweet for the companies that received the most government support. The Obama administration's pay czar is recommending big salary cuts. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
So the number being tossed around is a 90% pay cut at many of these companies, but there's more to the story?
Yeah, the 90% pay cut only applies to cash salary. So if somebody made $1 million last year at Bank of America, they may receive $100,000 this year. But in some cases, being compensated with stock is okay. So they could get the rest of their pay in stock, though they'd have to wait a number of years to cash it in. And the reason for that, Bill, is to try to avoid risk-taking that incentivizes short-term gains. The Obama administration really wants these companies to be thinking about the long term.
And I know even with that fine print in there, there's some criticism coming in about these pay restrictions. What are people saying?
They're saying really what they've been saying all along, that if you restrict the pay at certain institutions, and remember, Bill, this only applies to Bank of America, Citigroup, GM, GMAC, Chrysler, Chrysler Financial, and the insurance company AIG. If you restrict the pay there, you're going to send people fleeing to other institutions that don't have the same restrictions because they've already paid their money back to the government. But that seems to be part of the point of this. Some are saying maybe this will finally push some of these firms to pay the taxpayers back.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you. So these executives may get paid in stock, but as we know, stocks can fall, as they are this morning. Major European markets are down almost 2%. There were some poor earnings results from the Swedish wireless equipment maker Ericsson. Asian stocks dropped about 0.5%, even though the news out of China sounds good. China said its economy grew by almost 9% last quarter, and all that with no help from American shoppers. Since the global recession began, Chinese exports have taken a licking. And yet, China keeps on, well, you know, from Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
When Chinese exports fell last year, the government came in and said, "We're here to help." They did. Much of the 8.9% growth is from state spending on roads, train tracks, and health care. Now, China's private sector is back, too. Factory output rose nearly 14% last month. Andy Rothman is with brokerage CLSA.
The Chinese economy was the first into the recession, the first out of the recession, and now Beijing is the first government to be implementing an exit strategy.
China's easing off on its stimulus in the form of reduced bank lending. That makes some investors nervous. There's also concern that the easy money in China could turn into bad loans and stock bubbles. For now, though, the party's still going. Chinese consumers are spending.
And unlike in the United States, there's no household debt here. So as soon as they got more optimistic, they went out and started buying cars.
And apartments. And furniture to fill those apartments. In the past year, Chinese retail sales grew 15%. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
The Obama administration is debating whether to extend a popular tax credit for first-time homebuyers. This is the $8,000 tax credit, and it's set to expire at the end of November. Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell says, don't extend it. Let it expire. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
If an $8,000 tax credit helps people get into a house in these tough times and it helps our sickly housing market, why not extend it?
Because we don't need it any longer. Look, the $8,000 tax credit did help stabilize the market. There's no question about that. But I think if you look into the data, the housing market is stabilizing. And I have to tell you, Bill, one of the reasons we got into the trouble that we're in is that the government gave so much support to the housing market.
Well, the theory, of course, is that when people own homes, that now they're stakeholders and they're more responsible and better neighbors, and over time they have built wealth because of it.
Right, and then they also contributed to, what, $7, $8 trillion real estate bubble, which we're still dealing with the after effects of that. Plus, we do have to remember, people want to be buying homes. This is what I really think is going to happen over the next coming years. The real estate market is going to become the most boring market imaginable.
Why boring?
Prices aren't going to go up much. They aren't going to go down much. No one's going to get excited about real estate, and I think that's a good thing. Look, the injection worked. Let's not continue it.
The market may be stabilizing, but we keep getting told, we keep reporting on this program, foreclosures are still very high, and there's a lot more to come. Are you sure this is not still too tender an area of our economy?
Oh, I think it is a very tender area of our economy. I have no question about that. But does it need a continued injection of subsidy by the government? Mortgage rates are what? Down around 5%? Prices have come down a lot. We are seeing some stirring of buyers. And quite frankly, I just don't think that it needs the stimulus of $8,000. Now, I know the real estate industry, they're saying this is the end of the world. It's not. And we should stop subsidizing this industry. There is nothing wrong. This is a radical statement, I know, but there is nothing wrong with renting.
Okay, Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, great to talk with you.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, guess what album just became the largest CD pre-order in the history of the Amazon.com music store? U2? Bruce Springsteen? You're close. Actually, it's this.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Susan Boyle became an internet star this spring after she blew away the judges on a British TV talent show. Her first album, I Dreamed a Dream, comes out next month on Sony Music, and apparently a lot of people want a front row seat. You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
When dreams are made and used and wasted.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.